When you see these symbols, what do you think of? What's the word that comes to mind?
Peace.
Peace. You know, three images, very, very different, but are all recognizable as signs of peace. Interestingly, though, not one was developed out of an abundance of peace, but rather out of a need for peace. What we know as the peace sign was first developed by a British artist and activist named Gerald Holtham in 1958. The emblem it was based on semaphore movements for two letters, N, two flags pointed down at angles, and D, one flag straight up, the other one straight down. The letters stood for nuclear disarmament. Holton also said the design was personal as it represented a person with hands outstretched in despair. The symbol was used in Britain to protest the making of nuclear weapons. And when it was brought to America, it was used for broader purposes in the civil rights movement and later as an anti-war symbol by those who opposed the Vietnam War. And what about these two fingers raised in a V shape? Where did that come from? Well, good deal, because some might think, Mr. Nixon. But this emblem actually started as a sign of victory, not peace. Resistance fighters in German-occupied territories used it as a symbol of strength during World War II. The British Prime Minister Winston Churchill adopted it to stand for the English victory, and it eventually came to stand for the end of the conflict. Later in the 1960s, it was adopted as an anti-war symbol by Americans who opposed war. And as for the dove and the olive branch, this image has been around and used in many traditions throughout history. But the Christian symbolism comes from the Old Testament account of Noah, who sent a dove in search of land after the great flood. The dove returned holding an olive branch, indicating that the waters were receding and land was near, which is really good because the beavers were hungry. But the dove and the olive branch was a sign of the promise of peace after the storm of God's judgment. Now, again, all of these symbols we associate with peace, but none of them were born out of peace. All of these images came out because of a desperate need for peace in the midst of conflict, in the midst of unrest. Peace is defined as freedom from disturbance. It's defined as quiet and tranquility, but it's often in situations that are exactly the opposite that we most recognize our need for peace and the power of the peace that God provides us. We see peace most clearly not in the absence of noise or suffering, conflict, but in the midst of these things of life. You see, this is the world that Jesus came into. The song that we sing at Christmas, Silent Night, it conjures up these calm and soothing and peaceful images in our mind, and it's often as this worshipful 3-minute respite of, you know, in the midst of a hectic holiday preparations. But you know, that original Silent Night was not silent at all. The world was far from being a world in peace. There was divide between God and people. There was conflict among families and nations. There was political turmoil and Roman oppression in Israel. There was demanding physical travel for Mary, for Joseph, by Roman politicians. They didn't want to go to Bethlehem. They were forced to do that. And there was unrest in the hearts of many. But in the midst of all of this, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Messiah, was and is many things that the prophet Isaiah foretold he would be. Isaiah said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But it's important to remember that Jesus is not just a symbol for peace. He is peace. He is peace. And the Prince of Peace offers us the gift of peace this Advent season. You see, this was part of his original birth announcement made by the angels. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." You ever been, if you've been able to join us these past few Sunday nights, you know that we've been on this journey through the season of Advent as we've unwrapped these gifts of hope and love and joy and peace. See, the word Advent means coming. It means arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, by waiting, by anticipation, by longing. Oh, Advent is not just an extension of the Christmas. It's a season that links the past and the present, oh, and most certainly the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert for his second coming. During Advent, we light our four Advent candles, which represent aspects of Jesus' coming to this world that is lost in darkness. Each week we've been lighting a new candle, bringing us closer to the arrival of the true light that is being born into the world, born in Bethlehem. And oh, we're almost there, aren't we? Tomorrow night we're going to come together on Christmas Eve, coming together to worship, and then it'll be Christmas Day. And we'll celebrate Christ coming in our homes and our hearts, and we'll celebrate that He is among us and in us, that He is Emmanuel, that He is God with us now and tomorrow and every day ahead. Today we lit the fourth candle, the candle of peace. Advent is a season for allowing God's peace to infiltrate our hearts and minds as we prepare for His coming at Christmas and His return someday. And what an appropriate time and season to recognize Jesus as our peace. You know, really our world's not much different from the one that Jesus stepped into a couple thousand of years ago. You know, we are certainly more technological advanced, but our fast-paced, high-tech capabilities in many ways have added to stress, added to anxiety, added to fatigue and the relentless pace of life, especially when we come in here on church on Sunday morning and we turn on the projectors and nothing happens in the back. Right, Joe? Technology is great. It's wonderful when it works. Oh, the scenery and the process of daily life looks very different than it did in Jesus' time, but still we strive and we struggle to live, to exist. Our world still rages with war and violence. Governments and politicians still rant and rave, and governments even shut down. And while we certainly have so much to be thankful for in our lives and in our community and in our country, peace can and does easily get squeezed out of our ongoing lives easily and often. Think about this. Have you ever been somewhere that suddenly got very quiet? Quiet? Perhaps you were in a building when the electricity went out and the buzz, you know, the buzz of those fluorescent lights, you know, the computers, all the appliances, everything is silenced all at once. And you hear just nothing. Are you here now? You can hear the lights humming now. But if the lights went out, there would be a noticeable difference. Yeah. Or maybe you've been outdoors on a summer night and the song of crickets serenading you, and then all of a sudden they stop. In fact, you probably may not even notice those crickets until they stopped. Yeah. You see, sometimes we don't even recognize the noise all around us until it suddenly stops and all we truly hear is silence. The same can be true for the peace in our lives. Sometimes we are so used to the hustle in life, the bustle in life, that we don't even notice the noise, the chaos, the unrest until it's gone, until we take the time to experience peace and allow God to silence the other noises in our life. During this Advent, we are recognizing a season that helps us take time to reset. To reset our hearts, to reset our minds, to be still and to listen as we wait. See, peace is that gift that we unwrap today. So let's look at a few ways that peace can manifest itself in our lives. First of all, when we're living our lives in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we can experience peace with God. There's a bumper sticker that probably you've seen or you know about, and it says, "No God, no peace." No God, no peace. You've probably seen it. Placed on the back of a car, it sounds a bit cliche, but there is actually truth there. You know, when we know God, we can experience peace because of who Christ is and what He did, coming to earth, living among us, dying on the cross and resurrecting to defeat sin and death. Oh, it's easy for us to associate His life and work on earth with salvation. But the Apostle Paul made an important note in Romans that we should not overlook. Romans 5 says that therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Oh, Jesus brings and allows us peace with God. Our first and greatest need for peace is to be at peace with God. Our sin naturally separates us from God. From the time that sin entered the world, from the Garden of Eden, people have been at odds with God. Our sin and His holiness are not compatible. They are not at peace. They are at conflict with each other. That's why no conflict on earth can compare to the need for peace between God and His creation, us humans especially. And it is the season that this reason that God sent Jesus to earth that very first Christmas. Through Jesus, we can be made right in God's sight through faith. And when we believe in Jesus and accept His salvation and forgiveness, then we are at peace with God. The barriers of conflict and sin are removed. We are right with Him in unity and in identity and in purpose. The eternal peace with the Creator is the greatest gift that we can receive this season. It is available to each and every one of us. It's where we all start with receiving God's gift. It's where we all must abide in return, for we belong to God in Christ. We are unified with Him. We are His. And may we lean into and experience the peace of this reality through Advent and beyond. Secondly, when we are living our lives in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we also experience peace within. As I've shared before, there's so much to draw us away from the peace of Christ. Fortunately, God also knows the unrest that we feel within ourselves. He made you, and He knows your deepest thoughts. He knows our joys. He knows our hurts. He knows our desires. He knows the need for peace within. And he knows the broken world surrounding us and all the unrest clamoring around and against us. Paul offers these appropriate words in Philippians 4. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guide your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful promise, church. That's a beautiful promise. What a rich practice. What a powerful peace that you and I can experience. Look at these phrases that, you know, God's peace exceeds anything that we can understand. It defines our world and our circumstances. It fills us when everything going around us is not conducive to peace. It fills us. In other words, it shows itself most strongly in circumstances where peace just doesn't seem to make sense. And maybe that's a tragedy or an illness or a conflict or a heartache. But no matter how bad your situation, God is there with you, offering that gift of his peace, you know, that is stronger than whatever difficulty that you or I might face. Notice, too, that while this peace is calm and it is restorative, it is also strong, it is also active. It has the power to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's strong enough to defy our worst nightmares. You know, I think one thing that's interesting about this verse is that we often take it as a type of formula. If we can just manage to pray and thank God and ask him about, you know, about everything, then we're going to get God's peace. But you see, while Paul was describing those actions as part of a practice of peace, oh, we should remember that it is not an automatic formula. We have to remember that God gave the gift of peace in the form of a person, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The verse just before this passage says, in verse 5, it says, the Lord is near. And that's an important starting point for us. Jesus' presence with us is the reason that we don't need to be anxious. He is the reason that we have peace within. He is Emmanuel, God with us, who offers us the gift of peace beyond understanding that guards our hearts and minds in him. And as we practice the actions of prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we do so to connect with him. Peace comes as a result of the transformation that we experience as the Holy Spirit shapes our perspectives and realigns our hearts. Our troubles, listen, they may still rage on, but the Spirit gives us new eyes to see, and the peace of Christ guards us and calms us and changes our outlook. Oh, may this be the practice and the power of peace that we experience in Advent and beyond. And then thirdly, as we live our lives in Christ, we experience his peace to come. We've looked together at the gift of peace, you know, with God and the gift of God's peace within. But what about peace without? What about the peace without? What about the situations that we can't change? The relationships that are broken? The chaos that we cannot calm? The hurt that we can't heal, or the violence that we cannot understand? What do we do with the need for peace in our world? Well, this again is where we recognize the two-pronged nature of the Advent season. We wait for Christ's coming at Christmas, and at the same time, we wait for his return. The peace that we long for in our world is a peace that is still to come. It is a final restoration promise not yet realized. In the meantime, we wait with longing for the day when God's peace will reign in all of the earth. But until then, we can turn to the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. We can hold on to them and until we finally see him face to face. As Jesus told his disciples, as he tells us, that I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials. You're going to have sorrows. But take heart, because I, Jesus says, have overcome the world. And again, we see God's recognition of the brokenness that we live in and that we leave among. He knows. He understands how and why we can become discouraged. But here he encourages us to remember the person of peace, the Prince of Peace. In him we have and we find and we remember peace for our present and for our future. Because of Jesus, there is peace today. And because of Jesus, there's going to be complete peace yet to come. In the time between, we trust in Jesus' promise that he has indeed overcome the world. And in the meantime, we return to Jesus. It's a similar process to what Paul describes in Philippians 4. It's a continual returning and renewing with our Lord, our God. It's the deepening of our relationship with him, and it shapes us and holds us and carries us to all that we are and all that we can experience because of him. So today, where's your chaos in the midst of peace? Where's your warfare in your life? Where's their unrest in your life? Let me encourage you that the Prince of Peace is greater. He's greater. His peace is more powerful than what you're experiencing, than what you're facing. His peace is more powerful. This is a peace that I long for. As we celebrate the Advent season of waiting, let's recognize that we wait with longing for God's peace to be made perfect in our world. And let's also remember that the peace of Christ is also here and now and waiting to fill us all. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that in this season of Advent, we can unwrap your gift of peace. Help us to live in that peace that you provide through Jesus. Help us to rest in the peace that you give in the midst of life and trust in the peace of knowing you have come and you have overcome the world. Fill us and hold us as we encounter you, and may we experience the depth and richness of life that you provide both now and forever. For it's in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Paul shares with the words to 2 Thessalonians, the words for us today. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.
Amen.